I just got handed another microphone. I don't know if that means talk longer or louder or what, but oh, thank you. Good. That does bring back memories. Sharon and I were prayed over and sent out from a church a long time ago. We went to Europe, and our job there was to start new churches and train leaders to lead those churches. Of course, the part of Europe we went to, they spoke German as their mother tongue, so we had to learn German. Normally, what they did with missionaries was they would send them to the city of Vienna, and then you'd go to language school in Vienna. You'd live there for like 2 years. Not a bad deal, living in Vienna for 2 years. But in Vienna, there was this enormous American population, and it was very easy to sort of get sucked into the American bubble. And so they decided to do something different with Sharon and me. They moved us to a tiny village in the middle of the mountains. To our knowledge, there were no other Americans living in the area. There was no English worship service to go to. There obviously wasn't any Christian radio or anything like that for us. And basically, we were given the job of learning the language on site. I'll be honest with you, it felt very alone. The nearest Americans lived, I don't remember how far, well, maybe 35, 40 miles away, but that's quite a ways. And so we were there. And the man that I was working with was a German missionary who wanted me to get my German skills up to snuff. And so I'm tempted to say about a year in, he came to me and says, it's time for you to start preaching. I could barely string a sentence together. I couldn't understand the news when I watched it on TV. And what, I'm supposed to preach, really? I said, no, you need to start doing it. You just need to get going and do it. And so I worked and worked and worked and worked and wrote it all out and practiced in front of the mirror and all that kind of stuff. And the morning came, and I gave my sermon, which was supposed to be about 25, 30 minutes long, and I think mine was 8 minutes long. And got all done, you know, and I, oh, boy. That was rough. And, you know, I go up to him. I'm expecting to hear kind of an attaboy from him. And he looks me right in the eye and he says, that was terrible. You're doing this for the living God. You have to do better. That was our world. It just seemed like everywhere we went, we were being, it was communicated to us in some way, what you're doing is terrible. You're dumb. All those kinds of things. And we realized how dependent we were on the circumstances around us. And we realized that if we were going to do this, something's got to change. And it also occurred to us that there are a lot of believers in the world who have way less encouragement in their lives and support in their lives than certainly we have here in the United States, and even what we had in the country of Austria with its very small, small Christian community. I thought about that a lot, and I thought, one of the things that I think can happen if we're not careful is that we can become so dependent on our circumstances, on the resources that are around us, whether it be church services or Bible studies or small groups or radio or conferences or all those things. And none of those things are bad. They really aren't. They're really very good. I mean, I'm preaching in a worship service right now, honestly. But if we're not careful, we'll become so dependent on those things that we never learn to grasp on to the encouragement that God provides for each one of us individually. And sometimes we're just going to need that. Sometimes the circumstances aren't going to be there. The resources that we have right now in the United States for us as followers of Jesus, they're marvelous. They really are. But you know what? They're really economy dependent. And if the economy goes south, the resources start drying up. We know that. We've experienced that not too long ago. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at one verse in Colossians chapter 3 today, Colossians 3:16, which I believe has four keys for us to help us to do, for lack of a better term, self-encouragement, even though ultimately it's God's encouragement. But I'm trying to stay at it, so let me see if I can do this from memory, where it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing each other with all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. Yeah, good. I get a star on my chart. That's good. Glad to hear that. Anyway, let's take a look at some of these things. These are things that we can do when encouragement is lacking, okay? And we're just going to go right through them. I'm going to talk a little bit about them. The first thing it says is, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I think word of Christ, normally when we think of that, we're going to think of the Bible. But I looked at that and I thought, what in the world, which word is he talking about here? And I discovered that word of Christ, this is the only place in the entire New Testament where that phrase, word of Christ, is used. And I thought, well, that isn't very helpful. I mean, because Jesus had a lot of words. Which word is he talking about? But there is another phrase, word of the Lord. And that appears 11 times in the New Testament. And I go, okay, Christ, the Lord, probably the same thing. So what word are we talking about here? But every time that phrase, word of the Lord, is used, it's used to refer to one of two things. Either the gospel going out, which actually is going to be happening with these teams we just sent, or the teachings of Jesus Christ. And he says, let those things dwell in you richly. Well, obviously, there's got to be some kind of connection, which is why I'm so glad that Matthew mentioned that how to study the Bible seminar. I would encourage you, if you don't know how to study the Bible, and after I get done with you here, you still don't want to go to that class, not much more I can do for you, honestly. Yeah, you're going to get it straight today. Nothing wrong with that. That's okay. That's good. I got called lovely this morning. I'm trying to show that that's not true. Anyway, no. Spending time in the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is what is going to be our source of truth. And we sang about that this morning, and I'm so glad we did, to get to the truth, because there's so many lies out there and so many lies that are sort of surrounded in religious garb. And the only way we can determine what's lie and what's truth is by going to the source of the truth, and that comes in the Word of God. And I am absolutely convinced, this is a hill I will die on, that if we are not regularly in God's Word, reading it, and thinking about it and reflecting on it and putting into practice, we will not grow spiritually. It will not happen. I don't care how many conferences, how many worship services, how many Bible studies we go to, we got to be in it on our own. When I was at Cornerstone Church, we would oftentimes do marital counseling, did a lot of marital counseling down there. One of the first questions we always asked after we kind of heard the story was, tell us about your spiritual life. Tell us about your quiet time. How much time are you spending in the Word of God? And invariably, the same thing happened every time. They just look at the floor. Because they weren't spending time in the Word of God. And they weren't getting that truth coming into their lives in a way that they could understand it. And so he's saying, let it dwell in you richly. What does dwell mean there? That's not a word I use a lot. Maybe you use that word. I don't. But the word literally means to inhabit something and bring a positive influence in it. So are you letting God's word be in you? Are you thinking about it? And is it bringing a change in your life? Is it bringing influence in your thinking? Is it transforming your thinking? Because that's something that needs to happen for every single one of us, and we've got to do it on our own. You say, I don't even know where to begin in the Bible. Do I begin at the beginning? Where do I begin? I would encourage you, find one of the books that talks about the life of Jesus. If you haven't been doing this, and just read about Jesus and get to know Jesus better. And you notice it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That word implies overflowing. It's just bubbling. It's just coming. Those of you that are in my age, remember the Jesus movement? Remember how crazy we were? Remember how we were reading the Bible all the time? And always talking about it and saying things, man, maybe Jesus is coming back today. What do you think? We just got excited about it. Why? And I think a lot of that was we just spent a lot of time in the Word. And I would just encourage you to carve out that time. So people say, I understand this. People say, yeah, I'm really busy, you know, I really got a lot going on. Yeah, I know that. We all do. I understand that. But see, here's the deal. I believe we always make time for the things that matter to us. Always. Sharon and I spent an hour on motorcycles yesterday. Why? There were chores to be done at home, but you know what? Motorcycles matter. How much more does the Word of God matter? car that, and I would just encourage you to do some thinking. Maybe just even about this summer, is there a time when I could just sit down with God's word? And people might say, you know, okay, except, you know, I just don't read so well. Not many people know that, but it's hard for me to read. You know, I understand that. I worked in a school with students coming off the reservations where some of the schools were basically totally ineffective. We used audiobooks. And I would just encourage you, find the way to get into God's word. And I would encourage you to do it every single day. And if you're doing it, great, praise God. Take this as an affirmation. Take a 3-minute nap and come back again. We'll talk about other stuff. But for those who aren't, I just want to encourage you to do it. See, here's the deal. In the book of James chapter 1, it says so clearly, anyone who listens to the word of God but doesn't do anything about it is simply deceiving themselves. Please don't deceive yourselves. Carve that time out. For some of us, I'm a morning person. I love the morning, okay? After 8 o'clock at night, I'm toast, okay? Sharon's the opposite. She's a late night person, okay? We find the time that works best for us. And I would encourage you to do the same thing. And please don't let it slide. We need this. We need these shots of truth, especially in a culture that is so full of lies. So anyway, that was my rant on the Word of God. Let's move on. It goes on and it talks about teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom. Not only do I spend time in the Word of God on my own, but I also get it through each other. We talk about things that matter. We talk about things that we've been learning. You know, you can talk about a lot of things. We really can. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. We talk Minnesota. We talk about the weather. We talk about, well, the Vikings are coming up. We talk about the Twins, kind of. And, you know, those kinds of things, and that's all fine. We don't talk about where we caught the good fish, but that's all right, too. But to talk about what I'm learning in the Bible, and rather than coming to people and grabbing them and saying, hey, guess what I know now? You know, just raising questions. You know, I'll give you a real good example. Last week I was reading in 1 Corinthians, which you as a church spent the whole year going through 1 Corinthians. That's great. And there was a section there. I just really didn't get it. And I thought, wait a minute, these guys have gone through 1 Corinthians. So we have staff meetings every Monday morning. And I thought, I don't really get this, so I'm going to ask everybody else here. Maybe they can. And we had this good discussion. It didn't last very long. But man, I learned through that. I learned through my sisters and brothers. And to talk about those kinds of things, say, you know, even this morning, you know, I really didn't get what he was saying in that. Did you get it? And, you know, if neither of you got it, then come and find me and I'll take another run at it, you know? The point is to talk about the things that matter. And to encourage one another with things that we are learning. And that takes two forms. First form is teaching. Now, you'll notice that word there, teaching, ends with ing. For the English teachers in the room, you know that's a participle. For the rest of us, it's just a word that generally describes how to do something, okay? And to take the time, again, teaching, that's sharing information, things I learned, things I read, things that I experienced with God. And then you've got admonishing, okay? Teaching and admonishing. Teaching is about information. Admonishing is about action. And if you want to look at it like if it's a coach will do something on the whiteboard or the chalkboard and explain something, but sooner or later, you got to get out on the field and you got to do it. And the admonishing is helping people do it. Coming alongside people, say, hey, let's serve God together. Hey, we can't go to Detroit this year. Let's go next year. Things like that. And actually putting it in action. And that encourages us. Here's what's going to happen. I can guarantee this. All these guys that are going to Detroit and Rock Ridge and Johnny and Friends and stuff like that, they're going to come back like totally jazzed and encouraged and excited and wanting to incredibly annoy people to tell their stories about their experience. When that time comes and you're talking with one of them, take the time to listen to them, because that will encourage them. And not only that, it'll encourage you. We get encouraged with each other. And here's the thing. I just speak this as directly as I can, is that sometimes when we are discouraged, our temptation is to pull back and isolate ourselves, which can just start a spiral. And I just want to encourage each one of us, if I'm discouraged right now, reach out to somebody I can trust, and just spend time with them. Talk about what's going on in your life. Talk about it. Let them minister to you. Let them pour life into you. That would be a wonderful thing. First thing, spend time in God's Word on your own, whether reading it or listening to it. Second thing, spend time with each other. Third thing, Lee, you're going to like this one, through worship. Actually worshiping God. And it goes on there, and it says singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And there is a place for that. Some of us are really great singers. Occasionally when I'm sitting in here, I hear somebody behind me singing, and they're really good. Some of us are really terrible singers. But, you know, I think there's like this tune filter that happens between us and heaven, so that what God hears is what's going on in our heart, not what's coming out of our mouth necessarily. And to take the opportunity when we're together to simply worship God. It puts us in a right relationship with God, but it also brings encouragement. Martin Luther made this comment. He said, "My heart overflows with thankfulness when I think about music, because it has so often refreshed me and saved me from great distress." Saved me from great distress. Maybe that's discouragement, to take the time to worship and to worship on your own. It doesn't have to be singing. It can just be talking to God. It can be enjoying what God has done in creation, but acknowledging it for what it is and remembering who our Lord is and what he can do. Even when my circumstances don't necessarily communicate that to me, I can still worship God. Psalms, singing psalms, that would be the 150 psalms and a few others in a few other books in the Old Testament that are simply worship songs, which were often used in those days. Hymns, songs directly to God, praising God. We sang some of those this morning. They were wonderful. Spiritual songs are songs about God that we sing to each other. Take the time. Now, I'm not advocating that you turn your life into a musical, all right? Or, I feel a song coming on. You know, I really hate musicals, okay? Except for Singing in the Rain. I like Singing in the Rain, but all the rest of them I hate. But, which means we don't need to be singing all the time. But there is a place for that, even in our hearts. And that can help encourage us. And then the last thing is just thankfulness. Taking the time to be thankful. We talked about that last week. We talked about gratitude. And it's so easy to see the negative. It's so easy to focus on the negative. Those of you that were here last fall, I can't even remember when I did it. It might have been December, but talking about the button that was missing on my coat, and the lady said, "I couldn't even listen to your sermon because all I could focus on was that button." And I just thought, she lost so much. Oh, truly, truly. And then I think, we're just all negative. We see something on Facebook that just ticks us off, and all we can think about is that, Or we I had a couple of people, I had a near miss a couple of weeks ago, and a couple of people tell me about their near misses this last week. So near misses seem to be going around. Watch out as you're driving home today. But focusing on that, thankful. Man, I got a car. I'm going, I don't have to walk 8 miles to go to church. I can ride in a car. I'm thankful for that. Got a good friend who runs a rather large business kind of all over the country now. He's in real estate. And he demands that his employees, and not all his employees are believers, they aren't, but he demands that they start the day every day by talking about what they're grateful for. They have to sit in a circle, and everybody has to say something. If you don't say something, you'll get a warning. If you do it twice, you're going to get fired. How's that for free will and freedom? But, I've talked to some of his employees. You know what they said about that? They said, "I know Monday morning I'm going to get asked to talk about something that I'm grateful for, so I'm thinking about it all weekend because I want to have the best one." It's human, but at the same time, they said, "And you know what? It helps me focus on the things that I can be thankful for." And that encourages us. So, Take advantage of the resources we have. Please, worship services, Bible studies, conferences, mission trips, radio stations. Praise God for Christian radio stations, you know? But at the same time, be ready by developing the habits of spending time in the Word daily, of taking the time to interact with other believers about what we're learning and encouraging one another and coaching one another. Taking time to worship, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and taking time to be thankful. Those things will keep us going. And I know this not just from what it says in the Word of God, that would be enough. I know this from experience. So with that, are we okay? Does someone need some help? Okay. You got it? Okay, good. Okay. Okay. Praise God for people who know what to do when there's a little emergency. Isn't that good? I'd like to do this. I'd like to close up. I'd like to ask that we take a little bit of time just to ask God. God, based on everything I just heard this morning, what do you want me to do? And this, Lee, this might be a good time for the band to come up and get ready to lead us in worship. And then I'd also like to pray for this little girl here. I don't know what's going on. So let's just take some time. Ask God, God, what do you want me to do? And listen to him. And then I'll close in prayer. Okay? Let's pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, you are so good to us. I want to thank you that you provide encouragement through the people around us, through the experiences around us, circumstances around us. But I also thank you, Father, that you work within our hearts individually. And I pray that you would help each one of us to grasp onto the things we need so that we can stay strong and follow you. And Father, then I also just want to pray for this little girl. I don't know what's going on there, but you do. And I just pray that you would comfort her and you would help her and that you would show her your goodness and your love. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. One more thing before these guys start playing. That missionary I worked with, he had me preach again the next week. And guess what he said to me after the sermon the next week? That was terrible. You've got to do better. In fact, most of the whole time I worked with them, it was, that was terrible. You've got to do better. Now, the way I'm wired is that I just go, well, we'll just see about that. And as a result of that, and I'm just going to share this. We've been told by Austrian friends that we speak German better than any American friends they have. And I'm going to blame Teo for that. Always telling me that was terrible. And so God works even in those situations when we're not getting encouragement from our surroundings, but he is providing it. God is good, and he never stops being good. I'm done.